The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Ta'anit Daf Chafhe. Today's Daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema Eliyahu Chaim Ben Sofia Shafia Inna Refanalo B'toch Shar Cholei Amo Yisrael Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. L'chbod Nishmat Tzadik Rabbi Yitzhak Abu Hasera, that we're by his grave today in Morocco. Yehi Zichro Baruch. We begin today's Daf on Chav Dalet Amud Bet, and we start three lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Bechol Yom Vayom, Bat Kol Yotzet Ve'omeret. Every single day, a heavenly voice comes out and says, Kol Ha'olam Kulon Nizon Bishvil Hanina Beni. The whole entire world receives parnasa and sustenance in the zichut of my son Hanina. That's of Hanina bin Dosa. The Hanina bini dayo bekav haruvim me'erev Shabbat te'erev Shabbat. He sustains himself with a small measure, a kav of haruvim from me'erev Shabbat te'erev Shabbat. Which is, even though his zichut is to sustain the entire world, he himself is ani, and therefore he only eats a kav harubim from Erev Shabbat to Erev Shabbat. Havar Gila Debitu, his wife, was accustomed lemehma tanura, to heat up the oven, kol ma'ale de Shabbata, every Erev Shabbat, v'shadya aktarta. She would place a certain type of item in the oven that would cause the oven to be ma'ale asham. You see, they were very poor. They did not have any wood. So what they had to do, she wanted to make believe to her neighbors. She wanted to make believe to the neighbors as if she had wood. And she had something to bake in the oven. So she would take this aktarta. It was a certain type of spice or something, and put it in the oven, and smoke would come out. So it looked like she's baking something, even though she's not baking anything. So the Gemara says, what happened? Mishum kisupa. She did it because of the busha, because all the neighbors were cooking lichbot Shabbat. She had nothing to cook. Havala hakshbeta bishta. She had a very bad neighbor. Amra, the neighbor said, Mehdi, let me analyze. Yadana delet lehu velo midi. She says, I know that these people, Harina bin Nusan, his wife, they don't have anything. What is all this smoke coming out of their oven? Azla v'tarfa ababa. So she went and she knocked on the door of Rav Harina bin Dosa to see what they were cooking. Ikhsefa. So the wife got embarrassed, because now everybody's going to find out that she really doesn't have anything in the oven. Ve'ayla le'indora. She got embarrassed and she went into the inner room of the house in order that she shouldn't get, they shouldn't realize that there's nothing in the oven. So she went to hide because she was embarrassed. Ve'ayla le'andorna. Et'abid la nisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle for her. Ve'haja le'tanura male lahma. The oven looked a miracle. It was filled with bread. Ve'agana male lisha. And the bowl that was next to the oven, that was empty, now was filled with dough. Amra la. So the neighbor said, Planita, planita. She called Mrs. Harina bin Dosa, Planita, planita. Aitem masa. Bring the shovel that they used to take the bread out of the oven. They call it a marda. Bring the masa out, bring the spatula to take the bread out of the oven. The kaharich lahmich. Because your bread is it's going to burn. Amra la. So the wife of Rav Harina bin Dosa said, Af ana le'ache aile. She says, what do you think I went into the house for? I went in order to bring the marda. I went to bring it. Tana afi le'avi marda nechnesa. Yes, indeed, the Gemara says. That was a real kavana. When she went in to bring the marda. Why? Mepeneh. Shemilumedet benisim, because miracles were accustomed to happen to her, and therefore she had an understanding that this would happen to her. And the Mefarshim Rashi explains over here, the way the Maharsha interprets it, is that the reason why she kept the Marda in the house, the Chara, what did she need the Marda for? She doesn't even have any bread, she doesn't have any food. So that she explains, since she was Melumedet Benisim, that's why she kept the Marda in the house. And therefore, she wouldn't have to ask for a Marda from somebody else. She had one in the house. Amra le debitu. One day, the wife of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa said, "Ad emat nizil v'nitzta'ir kolehai. Until when are we going to suffer with such poverty?" Amar la. So Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa tells his wife, "May na'abid, what do you want us to do?" So she says, "Pray, dinitbu la midi. Pray that maybe even a shamayim, they'll give us something." So the rabbi prayed. Yatzta kemin pisat yad, like a hand came out of the shamayim. V'yahavu le'had karad defatorad dahaba, and they gave the rabbi like a leg from a table that was made out of gold. So it says, hazya behalma. That night, the wife of Rav Hanina ben Dosa had a dream. And what did she see in the dream? She saw that all the tzaddikim in Gan Eden are eating from a gold table. They eat tlat kareh, that has three legs. However, the iu, but the table of Rav Hanina ben Dosa, aftora de tre kareh, it only had two legs, shaking. Amra le. So when she saw that, she got up in the morning and she told her husband, Niha lach de mechal achle kule alma afturad de mushlam ve'anan afturad de mhaser. Is it right that everybody else in Gan Eden is going to have a full, complete table, and our table is going to be lacking? Umay na'abid. So, what are we going to do now? He says. So she says to him back, Ba'ed hameh dinishkelinu minach. Just like they gave it to us, pray to Borei Olam, he'll take it back. Ba'ed hameh. So he prayed, v'shikluhu, and they took back the golden leg. Tana the Gemara says, Gadol haya nes acharon yoter min harishon. The last miracle of taking it back was even greater than the miracle of giving it. The Gemiri, because we have a tradition, Yahaveh, Borei Olam gives. However, Mishkal lo shakleh. Once they give a beracha, they don't usually take it back. So here the miracle was that they took it back. And this is based on the Gemara Nida that says, Me'olam lo yatzta mida tova mepi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chazar ba l'ra'ah. That once the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a midat tova, a blessing, he's not chozer. But here, for the zechut of Hanina ben Dosa, they took it back. Comes the Gemara and says, Had b'shimshe, one Erev Shabbat, it was ben HaShemashot, it was already after sunset, Chazya lebrate dehavat atziba. So Rav Hanina ben Dosa saw his daughter was all upset. Amar la biti, said to his daughter, Amai atzibat, why are you so depressed? Why are you upset? Amra le. So she says, Keli shel chometz netchalef li bekli shel shemen. She said, I made a mistake. Instead of lighting the Friday night candles with oil, I lit it with vinegar instead. I made a mistake. The kelim got mixed up. And now they're going to go out. How long can it last? So the rabbi said, "Lakti mimenu or l'Shabbat." I use that to light the or for Shabbat. Amar la biti. She said, "My daughter, machpat lach. What do you care? Mi she'amar l'shemen v'yidlok, hu yomar l'chometz v'yidlok. The one that says to the oil that it will light is the same one that will say to the vinegar and it will light. Miracle." Tana haya dolek beholech kol hayom kulo. The vinegar lasted the whole entire Shabbat, until Motzei Shabbat, and they used it for Havdalah. So the Mefashim say they didn't use the actual ner for Havdalah, but they lit from it in order to use it for Havdalah, because they did not want to benefit from Maaseh Nisim. But you see over here, that Rav Hanina ben Dosa, another miracle, how the vinegar lasted the entire Shabbat. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, havu lehanach izeh. Rav Hanina ben Dosa, he had some goats. Now the Gemara is going to explain to us where he get goats from if he was so poor. Amru le, so the neighbors once told Rav Hanina ben Dosa, kam mafsedan. These goats are eating up all the fields. They're destroying all the fields over here. Amar, so he said, if it's true what you're saying, that these goats are eating from the other fields, nichlinu dube, then let the bears come out and eat the goats. Vi'ila, but if it's not true, kol hada vehada, titi leurta duba bekanayu. Let each one of these goats come back with a bear between its horns. The urta that night, aite kol hada vehada duba bekanayu. All the goats came back with bears between their horns. To show the miracle again that the Izim of Rav Hanina ben Dosa, they did not eat from other people's fields. The Gemara continues. Hava lehahi shibbeta. The wife, or the Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, had a neighbor. Deka benaya beta. She built a house. Velo matu keshure. However, the beams of the house did not reach from one wall to the other wall, which means the beams were too short. Atya lekame, so she came in front of Rav Hanina ben Dosa. Amra le beti, she said, I built my house. According to the Gersa of the Bach, Banai beti, I built my house. Velo kamatu keshudae. However, the beams do not reach from wall to wall. Amar la, so Rav Hanina says, Mashemech, what's your name? Amra le Iku, my name is Iku. Amar, so Rav Hanina said, Iku nimtu keshurayich. Iku, your beams should reach. Which means the beams should reach the wall to wall. Tana, we have a braita. Higiyu achiyatsu amalekan ve'amalekan. Not only did they reach, but they protruded one ama from both sides. Now, even though that wasn't necessary, the Maharsha explains that Borei Olam did that in order to publicize the miracle that Rav Hanina ben Dosa did, so everybody would walk by the house and see the beams protruding from both sides. Ve'yesh omrim, some say that the beams themselves did not extend. Sinifin asa'um. Miraculously, little pieces or links were attached to the beams themselves in order to elongate them. Tanya, we have a braita. Plima omer, ani ra'iti oto habayit. He says, I saw that house. Vayu korotav yotzot. Amalekan ve'amalekan. I saw the beams. They were protruding out both sides of the house. Ve'amru li, and they said, Bayit ze shekirah Rav Hanina ben Dosa betfilato. This is the house that Rav Hanina ben Dosa roofed with his tefillot. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, me'echan avu le'izim. We learned above in the Gemara that Rav Hanina ben Dosa, he had these goats. So the Gemara says, where did he get the goats from? Number one, ve'ani have it. He was poverty stricken. How could he afford goats? Ve'od, how is he allowed to have goats? Amru hachamim, the hachamim tell us, en megadilin behema daka be'eris Yisrael, that we're not allowed to raise animals in Eretz Yisrael like goats because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And these animals over here eat up from the produce. And therefore you're not allowed to have them in Eretz Yisrael because they eat up the land. Amar Rav Pinchas. So the Gemara says, Ma'ase ve'avar adam echad al petach beto. A story happened. One time somebody passed by the house of Rav Hanina ben Dosa. Ve'niach sham tanigodim. And he left chickens over there. And there was a siman on the chickens, but he forgot them and he left. Umsa'an ishto shel Rav Hanina ben Dosa. So Rav Hanina ben Dosa's wife found them. Ve'amar la, so Rav Hanina said, Al tochlu mebetzehem, do not eat from the eggs because it's not ours. Ve'hirbu, and they started to produce a lot of eggs. Ve'hirbu betzim ve'tan negolim. Not only they produce eggs, but chickens as well. Ve'ayu mitzarim otam. It was giving them a lot of trouble because now they have to raise all these chickens and take care of them. Umcharan, so they sold the chickens. Ve'kana b'dmehem izim, and they bought with the money that they sold the chickens with goats. Pamachat avar oto adam she'avdu b'menu atan negolim. One time, the fellow that lost the tanigolim, he walked by the house of Rav Hanina ben Dosa. Ve'amar lechavero, so he told his friend, Bechan inachti tanigolim sheli. He says, this is where I placed the tanigolim. Shamar Rabbi Hanina, so Rabbi Hanina heard. Amar lo, yesh lecha behem siman? Do you have a siman what the chickens look like? Amar lo, en? He says, yes, I do. Natan lo siman, he gave him a siman, ve'natal et azim, and he gave him the goats. And indeed, these are the goats that brought the bears on their horns, like we read in the Gemara earlier. Comes the Gemara now and discusses another rabbi that was also very poor. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat dechika le milta tuva. He had a very difficult time making panasa. Avad milta. One time he went and he did some bloodletting. Velo havale midi le mitam. He didn't even have anything to eat after the bloodletting in order to strengthen himself. Shakal berad de tuma. So he took the bulb of the garlic. Vishadye befume, and he put it in his mouth. Halash li bay, became very weak because of it. Vinim, and he fell asleep. Azul rabbanan li shiyu lebe, so the rabbis went to see how he was doing. Hazyu, they saw him in his sleep. Dekabache vehayich, he was crying and was also laughing. Unfak sutsita denura me'apute, and there was like a spark, like a fire that was emanating from his forehead. So the Gemara says, Ki itar, when Rabbi Elazar bin Pedat woke up, Amru le, Mai ta'ama kabachit vechayacht, why were you crying and laughing? Amar lehu, he said to them, Dava yativ imi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting with me. Ve'amri le, and I told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ad matai itzta'er be'ay alma, how long am I going to suffer in Olam Hazeh? Ve'amar li, he told me, El Hazar Beni, Ni halach de'afcheh le'alma mirasha, do you want me to destroy the world and create it again from scratch? Which means, do you want me to change your world? That's the way the Maharsha explains it. Do you want me to recreate you, a new creation? Or maybe it means that it'll come down as a Gilgul. And the point is, the Gemara says, Efshad de mityaladit b'sha'ata de mezoneh. Maybe you'll be born in a good mazal of mezonot. Because we know, the Gemara Mu'ed Katan says, that b'ne haye u'mezoneh, children, life, and panasa, they're not talui in a person's zechuyot, but they're talui in the mazal. And therefore, it could be, if you are born under a different mazal, you'll have better panasa. Amre lekameh, so Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat says, so I told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, kule hai ve'efshar, after all that, you're going to change my whole world and recreate me, and it's only an efshar, it's only a maybe, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he told him, he said, efshar de mityalat b'sha'at de mizunot, possibly you'll be born in a time of mizunot. So he tells him, after all that, it's only a maybe. Amri le, so he says, I told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, dechayetafe o dechayena. He asked him the following question. Did I live tefe? Did I live the majority of my years yet? Or dechayena? Or or am I destined to live the majority of my years, which means I did not reach the majority of my life. Amar li, so he tells me dehayit, which means he told him that already you lived the majority of your life already. Amre lekame imke labaena. So he said, if that's the case, labaena, I'm not interested. Amar li behay igra de amart lo baena. So he told him, in the zechut that you said, the Kadosh Baruch Hu told them, in the zechut that you said la ba'ina, that I don't want, that you don't want him to recreate and start the world over again for him, ya'avina lach le'alma da'ateh, I'm going to give you a reward for olan olam abad tenesar naharvata demishcha afarsemon dachyan, 13 rivers of shemen afarsemon, of the balsam oil, pure. Kifrat v'diglat, that each one of them are as big as the Euphrates and the Tigris River, the Me'agan, the Me'anegad Behu, that you are going to enjoy from them. And that's why he left. So therefore, we know now why he cried and left. The reason why he cried is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he's going to, that he lived already the majority of his life. So that caused him to cry. However, when he was told about the reward that he's destined to get, so that already caused him to laugh. So the rabbi continues, Rabbi Azar ben Pedat, he says, I told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hai vetula, that's all the reward I'm going to get? Amar li, ulhavrach ma yahivna, what do you want me to give to your friends? Which means if I'm going to give you everything, you're not going to leave anything to your friends. Amri le, so I told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'anam megabra delet neba'ina, I'm not asking you to give me a piece of olam haba from somebody that has his chalik. I don't want to take anybody's chalik. I want to take somebody's chalik that lost it. So therefore, I'll take theirs also. So again, that's what he means. I want from a person that lost his chalik, and you'll give me his chalik. I'll get that zechut. Sorry, the Gemara says, as a result, Mahyan be'askutla afutai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hit me with his finger on my forehead. Be'askutla afutai. Afutai is the forehead. Be'askutla is like his forefinger and thumb. Like he snapped. He snapped on the rabbi's forehead. Ve'amar li, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, Elazar beri, Elazar my son, gire bach gire. I have hit you with my haitzim, with my spears. And Rashi explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just telling him that to make him happy. So that was the fire that they saw emanating from the face of the rabbi. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Be'iskutla afutai, haynu tzutzitat d'nafak mine." That was the fire that was coming from him. Shebadbik etz ba'serada ima gudal, the forefinger and the thumb, umake be'esporin ha'etzba, and they snapped them together. Igru ba'gire, he says, I've sent my spears towards you, kelomari kiti behitzai, with my arrows, lehedva be'alma amarken, as she says, he told them just to make him happy. Comes the Gemara and continues, Rabbi Hama bar Hanina gazar ta'anita, Rav Hanina, Rav Hama bar Hanina, he decreed affairs because there was no rains. Ve'lo ata mitra, but the rain did not come. Amru le, so they told Rabbi Hama, Ve'ha Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi gazar ta'anita, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, when he was gozer ta'anit, ve'atem mitra, the rain came. Amar le'u, so Rabbi Hama says, Ha'ana, ha'balivaeh. He says, I am who I am, and he is who he is. Which means Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is somebody else, and he's better than me. Amru le, so they told Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, they told him to come, v'nechaven da'atin, which means you'll come pray together. Efshar de tabre sibura libayu, maybe as a result of Rav Yeshua ben Levi joining the tefillah, maybe the sibur, the heart will become broken, and the Borei Olam will answer them. Da'atim etran, the rain will come. Ba'un nahameh, so they started to pray. But what? Velo atem mitra, the rain didn't come. Amar lehu. So Rabbi Haman now tells the Sibur, Niha lehu, shiavo matar bishvilenu. Which means you accept upon yourself, and you all in unison agree that the rain should come because of us. Bishvilenu, which you have the bitachon. Amru le. So the Sibur said, hen. So Amar, so Rabbi Haman says, Rakia, Rakia. Sky, sky. Kase panayich. May you be covered with clouds. Cover yourself with clouds. The Gemara says, however, lo ikase. The clouds did not come. Amar, so Rabbi Haman said, kama azin pene rakia. How brazen is the sky that they don't listen, they don't want to cover themselves with the clouds. So the Gemara says, after he said that, ikhsi, these clouds covered the sky, ve'ata mitra, and the rains came. The Gemara continues, Levi gazar ta'anita. Levi decreed a fest. Ve'lo ata mitra, but the rain didn't come. Amar lefanav, so he told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, Alita, you went up to the heavens, ve'yashavta b'marom, and you're sitting in the high place, ve'en ata merachem al banecha. When you forgot about us, you went up to the heavens and you're not having mercy on your children. At that point, the Gemara says, Atamitra, the rain came. However, v'itla, he went lame, which means his hip became dislocated as a result of that. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar learns from here. Le'olam al yatiyah adam devarim kenapeh ma'ala. Which literally means a person should not throw words towards heaven. Jeez, you shouldn't, when you're praying, you have to be careful the way you pray. You shouldn't say it in a sharp way. Like he said, you went up to the heavens and you left us. Share Adam gadol letiach devarim klepe ma'ala. A great man. He threw words towards the heaven. Ve'etla. And his hip became dislocated. And the Gemara says, Umanu. Who is that person? Levi. So you see, as a result of his way he prayed, Borei Olam punished him. So the Gemara says, Ve'agar ma'aleh. Is that what caused him? Ve'alevi. We know another story why he became lame. Ahve kida kamed rabbi. He was showing rabbi what kida is. Kida is a certain way of bowing. Like it says in the pasuk, Vayikod. How do you Vayikod? You have to bend down, you put your face on the ground, and your thumbs. You put all your weight on your thumbs, and you lift yourself up with your thumbs. It's a very hard way of bowing. And Levi knew how to do it. So he showed it to Rabbi Ve'etla, and he became lame. So make up your mind. Did he become lame because of the way he prayed, or because he showed Kida? The Gemara answers, Ha-ve-ha garmale. They both caused it, which means like this. Really, when he did Kida, nothing should happen to him. But because he already prayed the wrong way, so then, since he put himself in like a, not a dangerous situation, but he did something out of the ordinary, so unless you have a zichut, God doesn't protect you. So since he put himself in the situation of kidah, so God said, I'm not protecting him. Why? Because he prayed the wrong way. Look at the top Tosafot, the only Tosafot. Pirish ha'avad, ha'kida'avid, da'ahve ha'kidah kamer rabbi itla. Yes, when he did the kidah, that's when he got lame. Ve'ad yitiyah devarim k'lepemala garmale de itla. What caused them to become nitla because of the way he prayed? Gemara says, Rav Chiya bar Lulayne, it was a rabbi's name, Shem'inu lehanach anane, he heard the clouds talking. The ka'amre, now what does it mean he heard the clouds talking? So the Maharsha explains that the clouds have angels. So he heard the angels that are in charge of the clouds, they were talking. What were they saying? Nitu v'nitbe maya ba'amon u'mu'av. Let's bring water and rain over the countries of Ammon and Moab. That's not in Eretz Yisrael. That's on the other side of the Jordan. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Borei Olam, kishenatata Torah le'amecha Yisrael, when you gave the Torah to the Jewish people, hazalta al kol umot ha'olam, you went to all the different nations of the world, ve'lo kibluha, and they didn't accept it, including Ammon and Moab. Ve'achshav ata noten lehem matar, now you're giving them rain? What do they deserve the rain for? Shadu hacham, bring the clouds over here. Shadu aduchtayu, and sure enough, the clouds came to their place, meaning it started to rain in Eretz Yisrael. Darash Rabbi Chiya bar Lulayni. My dichtiv, what does it mean in the pasuk that says Sadiq katamar yifrah ke'erez b'lebanon yizgeh? The pasuk in Tehillim compares the Sadiq to a tamar. Tamar is a palm tree with dates. And it also compares the Sadiq to an erez. Erez is a cedar tree. So Gemara says, Im ne'emar tamar, lama ne'emar erez? V'im ne'emar erez, lama ne'emar tamar? Which means, make up your mind, is he compared to a date tree or is he compared to a cedar tree? So the Gemara says, Ilu ne'emar tamar velo ne'emar erez, if the pasuk only would have compared him to a tamar, Haiti omer, I would have said, Ma tamar, just like the palm tree, the date tree, en gizo mahlif, which means it does not grow back. When you cut it, it does not grow back. Af sadiq chas v'shalom en gizo mahlif. That maybe I would think chas v'shalom, he's like a tree like that, that he also doesn't come back. Meaning maybe chas v'shalom, I would think he doesn't come back to tehiyat hametim. So that's one interpretation, which I would have thought that chas v'shalom, the sadiq doesn't grow back. Well, according to the Rashbam and Baba Batra, he explains that I might have thought that maybe the tzaddik will not have children like him. In any event, so that's why the Gemara says, Lachen ne'emar eres. That's why it compares him to an eres. Because the cedar tree regrows. And therefore, so to the tzaddik. Now, ilu ne'emar eres, if the pasuk would only compare the tzaddik to a cedar, velo ne'emar tamar, and they would not compare it to a tamar, hayiti omer, ma eres en oseh perot, that just like the cedar tree, there's no fruit on a cedar tree, at sadiq chas v'shalom, en oseh perot, which means chas v'shalom, I would think, that what? That he doesn't have reward. Maybe all his mitzvot that he does, there's no perot, there's no fruit, there's no reward from it. Olam haba. Lekach ne'emar tamar, v'ne'emar erez. That's why he compares him to both. Which means he's like a tamar that he produces fruit. Which means he has fruit, olam haba, he has reward. And he's like an erez, that what? He regrows. Which is like when you cut the erez and it grows again, so too the tzaddik will rise for tihayat ha-metim. So the Gemara asks a question now on cedar trees. The erez gizom mahlif? Are you telling me that the cedar tree, when you chop it down, it regrows? Ve'atanya, we have a braita. Regarding people that are buying certain trees, halokeyach ilan mehabiro. A person buys a tree from his friend. Lakutz. He has to cut it. Magbiho min hakarka tefach v'kotzitz. So you have to leave at least the tefach of the trunk on the ground and cut. Why? Because you're only buying one tree. You want the guy's tree to regrow. Uh-huh. So you have to leave him at least a tefach's worth on the ground. Now the Gemara discusses a different type of tree. Besadan hashikma. She's on a type of tree called the sycamore tree. Shene tefachim. So then already you have to leave at least two tefachim in order for it to grow back. Now that's talking about an old sycamore tree. Which means a tree that grew already once and they cut it. So now the second time when they cut it again, you only have to leave two tefachim and it'll regrow. Bitulat shikma, however, on a new sycamore tree, bitulat shikma, which you never cut it before, shilosha tefachim. Then you have to leave three tefachim, you have to leave a little more. Bekanim ubegefanim, when it comes to reeds and vines, meaning of the grapes, min hapekak ulemala. You just have to leave, they call it a pekak, which is a knot. Which if you ever see the vine, it's like they grow in knots. So all you have to leave is one knot above the ground, and that's enough, it'll regrow. Bedekalim ubearazim, however, when it comes to palm trees and cedar trees, you can dig all the way down, and you can even take out the roots. Because it doesn't matter. Once you cut it, it's not growing back. Oh, so make up your mind. You told me above that what? That the cedar tree grows back. And now you're telling me it doesn't. We're talking about other types of arazim, which means there's many types of cedar trees. Like the Gemara says, "Kederaba baruna, damara baruna, asara mine arazim him." There are 10 types of cedar trees. Shnei emar, the pasuk that says etem b'midbar eres shita v'hadas, etc. And therefore, that which Avchiyah said that the tzaddik is similar to a cedar tree, that what it it grows back. We're talking about the other types of arazim, which means erez is only one type of cedar tree. There's 9 other types of cedar trees. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the other 9. Those 9 regrow. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer shegazar shelosh asleh taniyot lesibur. He decreed 13 fasts on the Sibur because there was a drought. So the halakha says that they start fasting. They fast 3 fasts and another 3 fasts. And if they don't get eds, they fast another 7 fasts. Altogether, 13 fasts. Ve'lo yardu geshamim. And still it didn't rain. Baharona hitchilu asibur latzet. So after the last fast, the Sibur is leaving the synagogue. It's finished. Abad lahem. So Rabbi Elazar tells them, Rabbi Elazar tells them, tikantem kivrechem na'atzmechem. Did you go prepare your graves? Which means there's no rain. There's a sakana. Everybody's going to die. Okay. So everybody started crying. And sure enough, the rains came down. He went up and he prayed on the fast day. As we learned, they would add 6 berachot to the Amidah. Besides the 18 that they prayed every day, in the Hazarah, they would add an extra 6 berachot, like the Mishnah listed them. So after he finished praying the 24 berachot, he didn't get answered. Yarad, Rabbi Akiva Harat. Rabbi Akiva now went up. The Amar, he just said the following, Abinu Malkenu, En Lanu Melech Ela Ata. There is nobody else but you, God. Abinu Malkenu, Lema'anach, for your sake, Lachem Alenu. Have mercy on us. And what happened? The Yardu Geshamim. Boom, the rains came down. Havu Miranene Rabbanan. The rabbis started to murmur. They said, look at this. Rabbi Eliezer prayed 24 berachot, nothing. Rabbi Akiva comes along, he says, what, 2 lines? He gets answered. Yatzab Batkon. A heavenly voice came from the Shamayim. Ve'amra, and said, Lo mepene sheze gadol mize. Not because the Rabbi Akiva is greater than the Rabbi Eliezer. Don't think that the reason why Rabbi Akiva was answered is because he's greater than the Rabbi Eliezer. No, that's not so. Ela sheze ma'avir ha-middotav, veze eno ma'avir ha-middotav. It's because they have different natures. Rabbi Akiva was a type of man that was ma'avir ha-middotav, which means he forgave people easily. Which means if somebody slighted him, he didn't hold it. It was ma'avir ha-middotav. The way they explain ma'avir ha-middotav is he was a forgiving person, where as opposed to the Bidi Ezer, he wasn't. He was strict. And that doesn't mean there was a fault in his character. That's what he was. He felt if somebody does something wrong, you have to be tough with him. So therefore, who does God answer? God answers the one that's forgiving. Because you're asking God to be forgiving also to the people. So therefore, he answered Rabbi Akiva, and not the Bidi Ezer. Taru Rabbanan. We have a braita. Ad matay yu ageshamim yordim. How much rain does it have to rain? Vasibur poskim mita'anitam. That the Sibur can stop fasting, which means you call a series of fasts. How much rain do we say it's enough? Hashem answered our prayers and you can stop fasting. Yeah, and all those fasts. Which, what's the amount of rain that you say already? No. You've been answered. So the Gemara says, Kimlo barecha mahrisha. Which means according to the depth of the blade of the plow. Which means when you're digging, you stick the plow into the ground. So the plow has the blade is a certain length. So when the water goes into the ground, the shi'ur of the blade of the plow, that's already enough rain. Devrei Rabbi Meir. That's according to Rabbi Meir. V'achamim omrim, hachamim say, beharaba tefah. They say it depends. On dry land, the rain has to penetrate it at least a tefah. Bebenonit, on mediocre land, tefahayim. 2 tefah. Ba'avuda, on ground that's already been plowed, which already has been turned over and soft, shelosha tefahayim. Then already, it's got to go 3 tefahim. Now she just says over here on the right side, Bechareva, karka yevesha tefah, kevan dechareva, since it's hard, v'chnechsuba geshim tefah, v'adai rov geshim yardu, because it's much harder for the rains to go into hard ground. So therefore, when a tefah goes through, it's a lot of rain for it to penetrate hard ground. By shaking on softer ground, you need more rain because it penetrates it easier. It's easier. So therefore, on benunit, it's 2 tefah. On avuda, on ground that's plowed, 3 tefah. Tanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, En lecha tefah melemala, she'en tehom yotze likrato shelosha tefahim. Interesting phenomenon about the rains. That whenever it rains a tefah in the ground from above, there's water all the way deep, deep, deep at the bottom of the ground. The bottom ground waters rise 3 tefachim. No, they rise 3 tefachim. They don't rise to the surface. Now, obviously, you have to say that there's a certain benefit that the ground gets from the fact that these bottom waters rise up. Even though they're not hitting the top surface of the ground, but there's a benefit. So again, for every tefach that comes on top, 3 tefachim of the bottom waters rise up. Now she says, "Em lecha kol tefach kishenichnesu agishemim be'omek hakarka tefach." When the rains enter the ground, the tefach tehom ole umetkabed gimel tefachim. The waters of the depths rise 3 tefachim. V'afagav disumcha de'archa alfa garmidi. Even though the Gemara says another place that the width of the ground is like 1,000 garmidi, it's very, very, very deep. Afilo acher retibuta mehanya. A certain moisture is beneficial to the ground in such a case. The Gemara says, "What are you talking about?" Ve'atanya tefachim, says that the waters down below only rise 2 tefach. Make up your mind, does it rise 3 tefach or 2 tefach? Gemara says, la kasha, no question. Kan ba'avuda, kan b'she'ena avuda. Which means, when you have over here, ground that was worked, or ground that is not worked. Which means, when you have the ground that's worked, which means a little rain already, enters it, will go down a tefach, and then once a tefach goes into the worked ground, 2 tefachim rise up. However, on ground that's not worked, so when a tefach goes in, it's a lot of rain, because it's harder ground, so it takes more rain to go in. So the more rain that goes in, the more rain rises up. So therefore, on ground that's not worked, 1 tefach that goes in from top, 3 tefachim come from the bottom. Amar bi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, "Kishemachnisin etamayim behag." Now on Sukkot we learned that on the mizbeach, besides pouring wine on the mizbeach, it's called nisucha yayin, they also used to pour water on the mizbeach. There was different spouts on the mizbeach, and they would pour it, and the water would go all the way down to the bottom of the earth. So it says when they would pour the water on the mizbeach on Sukkot, tehom omer lachbero. The depths, which means where the water is on the bottom, they would start talking. And they would say, Abba Memecha, which means let your waters rise. Which is the zechut of the mayim that they used to pour on the water on Sukkot would cause the waters of the bottom of the earth to rise. Kol shene re'im ani shomeya. And the waters would say to each other, we hear the voice of two friends. Who are the two friends that they hear? Nisucha yayin and nisucha mayim. We hear the water falling and the wine, because that was fell on the mizbeach. Shnei emar, like the pasuk says, tehom el tehom kore lekol sinorecha, which means tehom el tehom, the depths of the ground. As she says, who are these two depths? They're tehom el tehom, mayim elyonim umayim tahtonim. It seems you have the waters above the ground and the waters below the ground. So they call to each other. Sinorecha is to the pipes, which is when they hear the waters coming down the pipes, they call sinoreka, to the voice of the pipes, they call to each other. And what do they call? They call to come down and cause the rain to rise up and the rains to come down. Amar Rabba says, Lididi hazili hai ridia. He says, I saw this angel. There's an angel that's in charge of the rains. And that angel's name is Ridia. And the Gemara says, Dame li'igla. It's similar, it looks like a calf. Looks like a cow. Upirsa sivvate. And its lips are split. And there's a split in its lips. And the Gemara says, Vekaima bin tehomat ta'a l'tehoma la'a. And this malach is between the upper waters and the lower waters. It seems it's like right over the ocean, where the waters come from the heavens to the waters where they come below. The Tehomar Ela'a, Amar Le, he tells the upper waters, which means the waters in the heavens, Amar Le, Hashor Memecha, go pour your waters, which means downpour your waters, heavens. The Tomata Ta'an, what does he tell the Tehomar, the waters from below? Let your water spring forward, spring up. Like the Pasuk says, now let's read this Pasuk together and see exactly how this has got to do with the angel. We'll do that in Rashi. Look at Rashi. Hanitzanim niru ba'aris. Nitzanim literally means the buds are seen in the ground. Kilomar, kishiminaskim mayim behag, at the time that they're pouring the water on the Mizbeach, on the Sukkot, shan nisuchim niru ba'aris, which means when the nisucha mayim is seen in the ground, she'en ba'in ila mishana lechavirta. Jeez, you only do nisuch hamayim from year to year, just like the budding. Just like the budding happens once a year. So they're comparing the pouring of the water on the Mizbeach like the budding that happens once a year. When the nitzanim are, when the buds are seen on the ground, what's etazamir? The time of singing, zemirot. Hag, because on the holiday they would sing special zemirot in the Beit HaMikdash. And then what does it say? The voice of the cow or the bull is heard in our land. Who's the bull? The malach. Because we said it looks like a cow. That's what the pasuk means. So again, hanitzanim niruba ares, the nitzanim, the budding, which means the nisuk hamayim, which is like the budding that happens once a year. Niruba ares, what happens? The eta zamir igiya, that's the time of the zamir, of the songs that are sung in the Beit HaMikdash. The kolaton nishma ba'arsenu, and the voice of the angel is heard, meaning asking the rains to come down and come up. The Gemara continues, Hayu mit'anin v'yardu g'shemim kodem anetzah hama. Now the Gemara is going to discuss cases where they started to fast, and now it starts to rain while they're fasting. Do they have to continue their fast or not? So we have a machloket. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Hayu mit'anin v'yardu dehem g'shemim kodem anetzah hama. If they accepted the fast upon themselves, and it started to rain before sunrise, lo yashlimu, they don't have to finish the fast. Because anyway, people don't usually eat before sunrise anyway, so it's like they really didn't start. So therefore, if it rains before Netz, they don't have to finish the fast. La'achar ha'netzachama, but after sunrise, yashlimu. Devrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Amer, kodem chatzot, lo yashlimu. He has a different opinion. He says, you have until midday, which means if it rains before midday, because that's, I guess, the primary time when people usually eat midday, then already they don't have to fast. La'achar chatzot, yashlimu. However, after chatzot, they have to fast. Rabbi Yosef Omer, kodem tet sha'ot lo yashlimu. He's even more lenient. He said you have till the ninth hour of the day. That's like 3 o'clock. Which means if it rains before 3 o'clock, the ninth hour, you don't have to fast. Le'achar tet sha'ot yashlimu. Now where did he get this tet sha'ot business? Shechen matzinu be'ahav melech Yisrael. We see a story of Ahav, the king of Israel. There was a drought in his time. Shit'ana metesha sha'ot ul'ma'ala. He fasted from the ninth hour and on, which means the story is told over there with Ahav that what happened. The story is told like this. After he killed a fellow by the name of Navot. Navot was a Jewish guy. Ahav had him killed. He was innocent. He had him killed with false witnesses. Now Eliyahu Navi made a prophecy that he's going to get great punishment as a result. Ahav, that is. And when Ahav heard this, he ripped his clothes and he put sackcloth on his flesh and he fasted. Now, what does it mean he fasted? He actually only fasted part of the day. Why? Because the Gemara is going to explain why. Gemara says like this, third line. Shneimar, because the pasuk says, "Hariita ki nichna Ahav." Did you see that Ahav has nichna? He was humbled himself in front of me. How did he humble himself? So let's read Rashi. Sheken matzino kedomar. She'en lecha adam ba'olam. There's not a person in the world she'en ta'anit chal alav mitet sha'ot va'ilach, which means nobody fasts past 3 o'clock. Which means by 3 o'clock, everybody eats. Afilu b'nei melachim, even kings she'darkan le'echol mitet sha'ot. Kings normally eat by 3 o'clock. Why? She'ad gimel sha'otem yishinim. They sleep until the third hour. במיטותיהן, ושוהים שישה שעות ואוכלים, and they wait 6 hours to eat till they wake up, כדמרים בפסחים, אפילו אגריפס המלך, even אגריפס the king, שרגיל לאכול בתת שעות ביום, לא יאכל עד שתחשק. So you see that אגריפס used to eat in the ninth hour. שנאמר, הראית כי נכנע אחאב מפני, God said, did you see that אחאב has humbled himself in front of me? ואחאב לא חלה תעניתו עליו אלא בתת שעות ואילך. When did אחאב start fasting? Well, he didn't wake up till the third hour. He doesn't eat anyway till 3 o'clock till the ninth hour. That means in the ninth hour, Ahav accepted upon himself a fast. So therefore, what do you see from over here? עד תת שעות היה יכול לאכול. He was able to eat if he wanted to. שלא גמר בדעתו לטענות. Which means he wasn't planning on fasting before that. Eliyahu Navi came to him in the middle of the day and told him, you're going to have a lot of punishment. So at 3 o'clock he accepted upon himself the fast. אלא שבא אליהו אותו היום, שנכנס בקרם נבות הסערי, ואמר לי, הרצוע גם ירש לה, ילקו הכל. Even the punishment was that the dogs are going to lick his blood. ויצום שטענה אותו. So he fasted that day. But he fasted the whole day. But the point is, for him, he really didn't start until 3 o'clock, because he fasts anyway.
Right.
So therefore, this opinion is being lenient. This opinion is saying over here that what? This opinion is saying over here that what? That if a person fasts, and the rain comes before the ninth hour, you can eat. If it comes after the ninth hour, you have to continue fasting. So those are the three opinions. Is it Netz, Hatzot, or the ninth hour? So Kazi Gavaran says, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah Gazat Ta'anita. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, he proclaimed the fast. V'yadu lehem geshim lachar Netzach Hamah. So after Netzach Hamah, it started to rain. Saval Ashlominu. So they wanted to finish the fast, because that's the halakha. Amar le Rabbi Ami, kodem Hatzot v'al Hatzot Sheninu. He says, no, we go with the Hatzot opinion. And therefore, as long as it rains before Hatzot, you don't have to continue the fast. Shmuel HaKatan Gazat Ta'anita. Shmuel HaKatan decreed the fast. V'yadu lehem geshamim kodem Netzach Hamah. Oh. So it rained before Netz. So the people were very flattered. This is a compliment to us that we didn't even have to fast the Ta'anit. So the rabbi says, no. Shmuel HaKatan tells them, let me give you a mashal to what this is analogous to. It's like a servant that wants a gift. He wants a pras, reward, from his master. Amar lahem. So the master says, Tinu lo ve'al ishmakolo. Give it to him before he asks. I don't want to even hear him. So the same thing over here. God doesn't want to hear our prayers. Give him the reins before they fast. So it's not a compliment. Shuv, another story. Shmuel HaKatan gazal ta'anita. Shmuel HaKatan declared a fast. Ve'yadu lahem geshamim lahar shkiyat ha'ma. Oh, so now after the fast was over, shkiyat ha'ma, it rained. Kesemurim ha'am lomar. So the people said, oh, this is a compliment to us. We're praiseworthy. After Philop, we were answered. Amar lehem Shmuel, lo shevach shel siburu. That's not a praise. Why? Ela emshol lachem mashal lema davar domeh le'eved shemevakesh pras mirabbo. Like a servant that asks for a reward from his pras, payment from his master. Amar lehem, so he tells them, hamtinu ad sheyitmakmek veyitzta'ir. Wait until they deteriorate and suffer. Ve'arkach tenulo. Then I'll give it to them. So hey, look, hey, God, wait, make you suffer the whole day and fast and trouble yourself, now he gives it to you. So the Gemara says, V'lishmuel HaKatan Shefchosh Shesibur Echidameh. Then what's the case where you can compliment the Sibur? The Gemara says, Amar Mashiva Ruach V'nashav Zika. That when they say the words Mashiva Ruach, the wind comes immediately. Amar Morid HaGeshem V'atam Mitra. And they say Morid HaGeshem, and the rain comes immediately. Now the Gemara concludes, we learned in the Mishnah that there was a Maaseh in the city of Lod, that they declared a fast and it started to rain. And the rabbis were very happy. And it says they came to the synagogue in the afternoon and they recited Hallel HaGadol. What is Hallel HaGadol? That's the Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilo Lam Hasdo. There's 26 Hodus that we answer Kilo Lam Hasdo. Now why would they say it after the fast day? Because one of the last ones is Noten Lechem Lechol Basar Kilo Lam Hasdo. So it's befitting to praise God after that episode. So comes the Gemara and says, what did they do? It says over there, first they went and they ate and they drank, and then they came in the afternoon and they said Halel Agadol. So the Gemara says, Venema Halel Ma'ikara. What do you mean? What do they eat and drink for? Let them say Hallel first, let them go break their fast to eat and drink. The big Mishnah said they went, when the rain started to come, they were happy. They sat down, they had a soda, they drank wine, then they went back to the shul to say Hallel Gadol. So the Gemara do the opposite. Let them say the Hallel originally. You cannot say the Hallel, only has to be on a full stomach and a satiated keres, which means stomach as well, which means because the pasuk says "Noten lechem lechol basar," you talk about how God gives food. You're going to praise Him when you're hungry. You can't be starving when you say it. If you really want to be a good praise, you have to say it when a person is full. So the Gemara says, "Edi, what are you talking about? We have a contradiction." The papa went to the synagogue of the people that lived in a city called Abigubar. Or some say Abigubar is the name of a person. He went to the person's synagogue whose name was Abigubar. They declared a fast. And it rained before Chatzot. So they said Halel Gadol. Then they ate and drank. So make up your mind. Here they did it the opposite way. They said Halel first. Gemara answers, Shani Bnei Mechoza, Tishkihi Behu Shikrut. The people of Bnei Mechoza, they get drunk a lot. And therefore the rabbi knew if they're gonna let them drink first, they're not gonna come back to the shul to say the Halel Gadol, because they're gonna get drunk. Rashi says, Yain v'shrut u'pashe, they're gonna become poshim v'lo yomru Halel. And look at the Tosafot on the top. V'la'achi ayu omrim Halel Gadol kodim shiyoklu v'yishtu. That's why they would say the Halel before they ate and drank. Hadran alach seder ta'aniyot elu. Baruch adonai le'olam.
Amen.